You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
That's like Illinois' charge this year. They went 10-3 last year. Now, how do they not fall off a cliff? Because in their history, that's normally what they do. Whenever they briefly rise up and have one season, they fall off a cliff and go back to immediately to mediocrity. But no, in the way that teams constructed and preseason expectations, they're just Illinois doesn't fit the Indiana discussion, and it's really hard to find one. Will a sleeper team make the playoff? Depends what we mean by sleeper team, right? Will it be someone not ranked in the preseason top 25? My gut says no. I think. Unless we're talking about like maybe a group of five flyer or something like that. From your power four schools, I think I lean toward your playoff teams coming from your preseason top 25.
So the team that I've kind of circled, I don't know if I'm actually going to bet on them, but Michigan State, hang with me here. So the key for Indiana last year was they had Ohio State and Michigan, but Michigan was bad or bad-ish. They had no quarterback. Michigan had no quarterback. So with Michigan State, they get Western Michigan, BC, and Youngstown State. They should be favored and win all of those games. Then their first conference game is at USC, and I'm not that high on USC. I'm not saying that Michigan State's going to go in there and win that game. But then their makings are, it's at USC, bye week at Nebraska. Then they get UCLA at Indiana, Michigan at home, at Minnesota, Penn State, at Iowa, Maryland. That to me is like, that's the type of schedule where you only have to really, Penn State's the only top team. You're avoiding Oregon, you're avoiding Ohio State, like maybe there.
Yeah, and to bring this full circle, this is one of the reasons, and I hate the model, but this is one of the reasons that Tony Petitti would say, we need his model, the auto bid model with play-in games, because it would prevent a team like a Michigan State that you're talking about that maybe isn't that good.
Correct.
That just draws this great schedule. And so they position themselves in terms of record to make the playoff, but it's like, well, not so fast. Now you got to play the dreaded play-in game,
right?
Where you can be exposed and not make the playoff. I get his argument on that front. I don't think all the other facets of his plan justify stomaching it. I mean, as we don't have to go through it again. There's so many things that I hate about the plan, but I would say that is one of his arguments that at least kind of makes sense, is these conferences have gotten so big and there's so much variance from one schedule to the other. Like, that would be the argument, even though I don't want that playoff plan. Most of us don't. That would be the argument for that plan, or at least the play-in facet of the plan, is it kind of weeds out these teams that are only in the position they're in because they drew a great schedule and they took advantage of the schedule, right? I mean, there's a lot of teams out there that draw a pretty good schedule, but then don't actually take advantage of it. So you got to take advantage of it once it's there. But the play-in game could then weed a team like that out. Is that worth it? I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't know what I think about the idea of, like, Indiana last year, if they would have had to have played a play-in game to get in. I don't know. Maybe it does weed out those teams and expose them. But also, like, to me, the playoff bid is kind of a fitting reward for a team like Indiana last year that goes 11-1, that took advantage of the schedule in front of it. I don't know that I feel like they should have had to play a play-in game to get in the playoff.
So here's the problem that I would see is that Indiana finished third. So what, three plays six in his plan, yeah, right? So Indiana would have wound up playing Iowa. Is Iowa going to really, like, is that going to, are they going to defraud Indiana?
And they may have, but I'll take it a step further. If they would have, would that have made Iowa a more deserving playoff team?
No.
Like, I don't know that they would have been,
well,
right?
And like,
because throughout the course of the season, Indiana looked better than Iowa, beat all the teams they were supposed to beat, and so if they happen to lose a play-in game, let's say they lose 21-19 or something, does that mean Iowa was actually the worthy playoff team? I would argue no. It just means Indiana got beat in a playoff game, and we've admitted an even less worthy team into the playoff.
All right, we'll wrap up here with you. What percentage chance do you give Petiti's success rate on this?
On the playoff plan?
Yeah.
25%. I mean, everybody's got their heels dug in, right? But I don't care so much about the Big 12 and the ACC digging in their heels.
No,
I mean, it means something.
Tim and I were talking. I think you would agree. It felt like the actual turning point in this was actually SEC spring meetings.
Totally.
When the coaches decided, hey, no, like, we don't want this. That, to me, because I think if the SEC and the Big Ten are on board, I think they're going to have the ability to muscle it in. But I think when the SEC got kind of exposed as having competing interest, I think that was bad.
Yeah, and that's why I'd say 25% and not like 10% is, well, the SEC changed its mind once before.
They could do it again, yeah.
They could do it again, and if they do, sorry, Brett Yormark and the Big 12, I think you've made some great points. I think you probably have the best plan, but if the SEC changes its mind again and goes against you, then I think the Big Ten's plan can be saved. So that's why I put it at 25%. The SEC changed their mind once. If they change it again, then that plan can be revived. If the SEC says, we're not going back to this plan, then it's not happening. I mean, it's just not. The Big Ten is not going to go it alone. It's not going to be able to strong-arm three conferences, including the SEC, into going along with what it wants. The SEC either has to change its mind again, or Petiti's not getting his plan. And so, yeah, I'd put it at a 25% that they come back around.
Blake, we appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
That is Blake Topmeyer, senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the list. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The Summer of 1,000 Engagements is going on right now at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and that sale means that you can save up to 40% off engagement rings. And also, a reminder, proposals need ice, and Robert Irwin Jewelers is delivering it in more ways than one. Spend $24.99 or more, and you'll get a free Yeti Tundra cooler with your purchase. Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to buy engagement rings. Why might you ask? Because you can have peace of mind. You've got the meant-to-be guarantee, which means if you do the custom-made engagement ring, where you buy your loose diamond and your custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers, you'll have a full 365 days to return the ring, no questions asked. They also have more choices in every budget. They have the largest collection of natural diamonds and a wide selection of lab-grown diamonds. They're also going to save you money because they have the lowest prices on GIA-certified natural diamonds in the Mid-South. There's no better time to head on over to Robert Irwin Jewelers right now with the Summer of 1,000 Engagement Sale going on. Save up to 40%, and with your purchase of $24.99 or more, get a free Yeti Tundra cooler while supplies last. You can even propose now and pay later with lots of financing options. You can take up to 60 months to pay. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Visit any of their 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. Let's get into the list. Jake Retzlaff, I should say. This, according to Pete Thamel, we kind of knew this, but there's one detail that I would like to discuss with Tim. Quarterback Jake Retzlaff is withdrawing from school at BYU. He still plans on transferring and is expected to take a transfer path that does not involve the NCAA transfer portal. He plans to simply enroll at a new school. He put a social media post: after a lot of prayer, reflection, and conversations with those I trust, I've made the difficult decision to officially withdraw from BYU and step away from the BYU football program. BYU has meant more to me than just football. It's been a place of growth spiritually, mentally, and physically. I'm grateful for every teammate, coach, staff member, and fan who supported me along the way. The relationships and memories I've made in Provo will always be a part of me. That said, I'm excited to turn the page and embrace the next chapter. My journey is far from over, and I'm more motivated than ever to keep chasing my goals. Jake Retzlaff, a.k.a. BYU. Okay, so the key detail is that he is not planning on entering the portal. And my first thought when I heard that, Tim, is this a way to circumvent certain conference rules about when you can and can't take someone from the portal?
Yeah, I don't really understand this whole situation. Now, he is a graduate, correct?
We've asked the same question. We think so, but I've never been able to, 100% confirm it.
I think he is. I could be wrong, so I'm not going to, write that in blood. I guess the sounds of it is there's nothing stopping a normal student from withdrawing from one school and going to another as a student, right?
Correct.
Anybody can do that. So is he just, obviously, if he were to enroll at Wisconsin as a student, there's nothing stopping him from getting admitted into Wisconsin. Now the question becomes, can he just go be a part of the football program? I don't know the answer to that, because he's not going into the transfer portal. How does that ultimately work? So, yeah, this, I don't know all the specifics, but it certainly sounds like, I would imagine, he's discussed this with people from a legality standpoint.
Yeah, I would say this seems calculated.
Right. It doesn't seem like he's just doing this on a
right.
whim.
This doesn't seem
if he had done this on a whim, he would have been already transferred.
Yeah.
Because the news came out, two or three weeks ago. I did a podcast on it before I went on vacation. So that was late June, very early July. I think it was late June that the news came out first regarding the lawsuit, which ultimately got dropped. Then it was the suspension, and it took 2 weeks for him to withdraw from school, right? So, yeah, it does seem very calculated, and if I had to guess, I would imagine that Retzlaff and his team probably looked at all the specifics and said, all right, if you do this, you can go play this year, and I imagine that's what ultimately they've decided to do.
Yeah, this feels like, okay, I've been getting a lot of advice, and the timeline is like, here is a path that we think allows you the least amount of friction to go and play.
So from what I've been able to find, just really quickly, and this is from Yahoo Sports, they mentioned that Retzlaff did graduate in April with a degree in exercise and wellness, so he would be going out as a grad transfer.
Which means, I think it's a lot easier to transfer as a graduate transfer.
Yeah, I don't think there's any rules, right? Isn't that the deal?
So I'm
with
just
the NCAA?
Unclear. I'm unclear. So there, in terms of the NCAA, if you're a graduate, I believe you can transfer anytime, anywhere.
Correct.
Where I start to get murky is the conferences started trying to put in timelines to decentivize people from transferring whenever. So remember when we talked about when Nico transferred?
Mm-hmm.
Nico's biggest miscalculation was not doing that before. Waiting till when he did meant he could not transfer to another SEC school. And therefore, by not being able to transfer to another SEC school, you greatly limited the amount of money people were going to be willing to pay you because the SEC is insane.
All right. So here's a little bit of information from Matt Zenitz.
All right.
He said, while teams haven't been able to have direct communication with Retzlaff because he's not in the transfer portal, it is legal for them to have contact with members of Retzlaff's camp.
Right, so there his
have
agent.
Been a there have been a combination of Power Four teams and high-end Group of Five programs that have already expressed interest in Retzlaff, according to sources. So I guess there's no legal discussion or, yeah. Retzlaff cannot legally, because he's not in the portal, talk to the head coach of so-and-so university. But, as Zenitz points out, his agent or whoever is running his team can talk to those institutions. So he can't go on a visit, right? He can't go to Wisconsin or wherever. I just keep saying Wisconsin.
I think if you withdraw, I think you can do an unofficial.
But he can't, but he's not in the portal, so he can't talk to coaches. He can't have a direct.
Is this not a whoops? We bumped into everybody.
Yeah, you could probably do that too, I'm sure. There's ways. Look, there's ways. And middlemen, whatever.
I'm very curious. Where do we think he's going to wind up?
I don't know, man. I got a text the other day that said Notre Dame was interested. And I'm like, what? I'm like, no. I won't say no way, but I would be surprised if a team who's preseason top 10 and let a veteran-ish quarterback go in Angeli, and from my understanding, really didn't poke around at all in the portal, was out there. But I guess, all right, before I answer that question, what's the ultimate goal for him? It's just to be the starter, right? And play 12 games and help his NFL draft stock, correct? Does he care about winning?
Does he care about
a high profile?
Does he care about his draft stock? Is there any universe? I mean, it's tough for me to imagine his stock would have been higher than last year, and it was never all that high.
Let me ask you this question. Would Memphis be interested? High-end power group of five team with a chance to make the playoff?
I think we have to establish the other question. Is he going to the highest bidder? I think Memphis would struggle.
I think he's going to a place that tells him he can be the starter and has the best chance to win.
I think then the second question is for Memphis, how far away do you think AJ Hill is? Because if Brennan Lewis is a placeholder until you're 100% ready to go with AJ, then I would say don't do it. But if you think that I don't know if AJ's going to be ready this year, I probably would, but I'm also worried that, like, I'm worried that, like, to me, it's like, I don't think Jake can bank on an NFL career, so this is probably your last chance to really get a payday, and so I find it hard to believe, like, I don't know if Memphis could make the payment that other schools could. But then there's also the complication of now that he's transferring when he is, like, is he going to have to go through NIL Go?
Right. And does Manischewitz, does that NIL deal come with him? Or was that through BYU?
I would think the Manischewitz deal was through his own team, seeing as it's a Jewish company.
Right. So...
And I would also think that that is grandfathered in, correct? Because he signed it last year.
I am wildly fascinated by this situation, because if the Zenitz reports are true, and Zenitz, I think he's pretty darn good at his job. Power Four teams, high-end group of five. Memphis is high-end group of five. And I'm not trying to, like, make the Memphis thing happen. It makes some sense, doesn't it?
See,
when you think about the schedule that Memphis has,
my first instinct went to the way that he's doing this is there's a big time SEC, Big Ten. Like, to me, it was like a big-time school that wants him. And again, this is solely based on intuition. This is not any, like, digging.
Northwestern's not a big-time school?
I'd be curious to know if Jake knows how to bark.
If there's that question of, okay, is it a factor of money improving draft stock and winning, would it not make sense to go to maybe like the ACC? But I just don't know where.
I mean, I think I think North Carolina would make sense.
Yeah, who's throwing the rock at Boston College this year?
They went with the freshman.
They have the kid from Alabama, Lonergan.
That's right, because I remember that Castellano.
And the kid who replaced Castellanos.
Yeah,
so they have a battle.
I think O'Brien's pretty good with what he's got.
I don't think it would be Boston College. It's just my guess. Also, it would be hilarious if a Jewish guy went from a Mormon school to a Catholic school.
he's already got two off the list, or at least one.
I mean, I'm just trying to think about, like, it's July. Guys are working out on campus now. You also have to think about, too, like,
who did Belichick hire as his OC?
Oh, man, who did he?
Because McDaniels is in New England again, right?
Is it Freddie Kitchens?
Is it Freddie?
Two-pitcher Freddie.
Yeah, it's Freddie.
I think it's Freddie Kitchens.
All right, let's just do a quick run down the list. And, like, I don't know how all these programs are thinking, but I think we could eliminate some very quickly.
All right, let's do it.
Penn State, no. Clemson, no. Notre Dame, I don't know, man. There's weird rumors out there. Every reporter that I've talked to that covers a team thinks it would be crazy, but there are weird rumors out there that Notre Dame is sniffing around.
Well, I also think here's where Notre Dame could make some sense. By Notre Dame being independent, I think there's fewer hoops to go through. He could just be literally like a graduate transfer.
Yeah. But the weird, I mean, this is more of a inside Notre Dame situation, but it's like, you've got a pretty young team. I think they're super talented, but you've got young quarterbacks. You've got young pretty much everything. And it's like, if you bring in this quarterback in July, I don't know how that goes over, but we'll see. I would say Notre Dame, unlikely, but wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world. Texas, no. Ohio State, probably not.
I'm going to say no because they basically spent to keep Saban.
And the Lincoln Kindholz guy is a decent number two option, high recruit. Georgia, no.
I'm not ruling it out.
They didn't really sniff around, but...
But I think they didn't sniff around because... I think they mainly didn't sniff around is because the transfer quarterback market was so insane.
Yeah, it was... I mean, it was Mateer. It was...
Well, in the... But, I mean, I'm mainly saying the price.
Yeah. Same goes to Alabama. I think they're probably going to roll with what they've got on the roster, but who knows?
I was trying to see where, if there's any overlap with his coaches. Not really.
Oregon?
I think they paid a lot to keep Dante Moore.
I agree.
I think it's going to come down to, the emphasis will be, I think he's going to go to the best team he can start at.
I agree. That there's no real competition. So maybe the ACC does make sense. But even when you look at the ACC, like, does he go to Stanford?
Well, then also, I don't know, is Stanford really going to play the game? Like, he has to get in. And the word on the street was always, Stanford could play the game with undergrads, but their grad schools were very, very much not playing the game of letting anyone in.
About Wake Forest, new head coach, no ties to anything. He's from, did Washington State play BYU?
Last year, Washington State, so hang on, I have BYU right here. BYU played Southern Illinois at SMU at Wyoming. No.
Okay. Not to say that's a make
did
or
he,
break.
Did he bring anyone with him?
Who, Dickert?
Yeah.
I think he did. I don't know off the top of my head.
Because, like, that's kind of the other thing. It's like, who... It's like, who's desperate enough and doesn't have enough ties? Like, is not attached to a certain quarterback?
Well, do you look at coaches who are on the hot seat or coaches who are new? So, like, could Scott Frost kick the tires on him down at UCF?
Who did UCF make the decision?
They got the kid from FAU, I want to say. But I also don't know what are the rules about the Big 12.
Well,
I don't know.
I think, though, that would make a little bit of sense to me in the sense of, I think the withdrawing, to me it seems like he's withdrawing from school to avoid portaling implications. UCF might be, that'd be someone. Like, does someone, like, how tied, who does Satterfield have? Does he still have Seller, whatever?
Sorsby.
I mean, it feels like it's a big year for him, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a big year for Brent Brennan, too, at Arizona.
I just thought of something. How married is Lincoln to Maeva?
I thought about that. I mean, apparently he was, because he didn't go out and get anybody, but that would make some sense. And if you're Lincoln, and I guess this whole situation we don't know the answer to, but if you're Lincoln Riley and you said, hey, come out here and compete, man, beat him out, would he be interested, or does he need reassurance, I'm going to be the starter? I don't know the answer to that.
I think seeing as he only has 1 year left, although he was a JUCO kid, does he have an extra year?
Who knows? There's no rules. I think this thing is pretty wild and fascinating to me.
I totally agree, because my instinct tells me he's going to wind up somewhere good. He's been very calculated.
Yes.
And also, it's kind of like we've talked about. Who is proven at quarterback? I mean, honestly, the most proven two guys are Cade and Aller. You and I are not sold on Aller. We're more sold on Cade. But, like, if I say gun to your head, you think Cade's going to win the Heisman or be a Heisman-caliber quarterback this year, are you confident?
No.
Because I'm not.
I think Clemson will be a double-digit win team, but I'm not confident that Cade Klubnik's going to be lighting it up like Joe Burrow in 2019. I think their roster is loaded, and I think their conference stinks.
And I think he's in a great spot to have the great year. Extra year with his system, like, I do think the makings are there, but, like, you know, George has pointed this out. A lot of the Cade hype is the second half against Texas when Texas had a pretty big lead. Now, I think he made some great throws, but, like, I don't think George is necessarily wrong.
I think if you're North Carolina, you're Bill Belichick, I think you're looking at him, you know? If you're Michael Lombardi, their GM, my former colleague, like, are you sold that Gio Lopez is your starter?
Oh, I'm not at all.
What about Tennessee? Are they sold that Joey Aguilar's the guy?
No, I don't think they are, but then you run into the question of, are you really just going to bring in, like, you've paid Joey, I think, like $1.5 million.
What's money?
Well, I mean, somebody's got to pay it. And it's not like the, you know, it's not like a pro team where, all right, well, we just got to wait on the revenues. Like, I mean, somebody's got to pay it. I mean, I definitely think Retzlaff's better than Joey Aguilar.
I think he's better than Gio Lopez.
I definitely think he's better than Gio Lopez, but then there's always the weird things of...
Because, like, when I look at teams, the contending teams, like Alabama, Georgia, Notre Dame, Oregon, all four, you could make a very strong argument that Retzlaff is better or just more proven. But those four programs, even though Sayan technically is a transfer and Dante Moore is technically a transfer, they have homegrown guys that were in the system a year ago.
Well, I also think this is an honest question, and I'm not being homery. I'm saying I think this conversation will be had. How much do you think the coaches at those programs respect the Big 12? So, like, for instance, yeah, he put up pretty good numbers in that league, but we don't feel great about him against the defenses we'll see. And essentially, those teams that we're talking about are, we need him to make the throws to win a national championship. Are they confident that those numbers were real?
So looking at his numbers last year, his best games, he had a high number against Arizona State. I mean, his numbers were not crazy gaudy. He can run. He's athletic. He can get out and scoot. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's a really interesting situation now that you've got essentially a free agent. I mean, the season starts 7 weeks from tomorrow. That's a really quick time, man.
So
his true transfer product, if you didn't transfer in the winter, you're already there though. If you were a transfer in the spring portal, you came in May. Once the school year ended and you've been working out, you've been indoctrinated. Like, this is the most challenging, most unique position in the sport. And he's going to have to get there in 6 weeks, learn everything, and become the starting quarterback. That's a pretty quick turnaround.
Well, it is why I think the first thing we should look for is who's truly desperate.
So once again, define desperation.
I think probably I would say
coaches on the hot seat.
Yeah, I would say hot seat.
Then I've continued to say, and I haven't heard anything substantiating it, but like Wisconsin should be on the call right now. I don't know how you think Billy Edwards Jr. is your starting quarterback and he's going to save your job if you're Luke Fickell with the most challenging schedule in the nation.
The only thing I can think of, aren't they trying to go back to...
Yeah, they want to run more. But Retzlaff can run a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I agree on that. I mean, who else?
I just want to think of the teams who like missed in the portal, right? Utah got their guy. Oklahoma got their guy. Indiana got a guy. Iowa got a guy. And a lot of the big boys said, I think we're good. Ole Miss said, we're good. We're going to roll with Austin Simmons.
Auburn got a guy.
Auburn got multiple guys.
Like, Arkansas is pretty good with Talen.
Like, if you're Texas Tech, you've got all this money. Do you trust that Morton's going to stay healthy? Wasn't he injured this offseason?
Oh, Morton misses two games every year.
So, like, if you're Texas Tech and you're spending all this money and the pressure is you better win the damn conference this year and you've got this billionaire oil typhoon out there, here's $1 million. Come down to Lubbock. Compete for the starting job.
Are we missing Colorado?
No, because they went out and they got Caden Salter, and they got a five-star freshman that they brought to Media Day.
I do love how now that Deion's kids are no longer on the roster, all of a sudden he wants a salary cap. He wasn't asking for a salary cap last year.
Who's Tulane's quarterback?
They got the kid from Ball State.
That was exactly my thought, Tim. I was like, Tulane, maybe? I mean,
because you said who's under pressure. Well, Summerall's not under pressure, but he wants an SEC job.
Yeah, he wants out. And the thought is because the SEC didn't fire anyone last year, that this year it gets nuttier. I don't know.
I'll be honest, dude. That report says high end G5, if I'm Dan Mullen, I'm like, forget Alex Orji and Anthony
Oh, that's
Calandrio.
Where he wound up? Didn't realize that's where Orji went. Now, I will say one thing, though. George and I will contest. Dan is not afraid of running a quarterback into the ground. Alex Orji.
No, he's not.
Alex Orji better get the hyperbaric chamber, because let me tell you what you're going to do, young man.
Get all the KT tape you can buy, buddy.
You better learn how to play, or you need to learn how to run quarterback power and quarterback counter, because you're going to do it a lot.
Here's another school where I think there's heat on the coach. Virginia Tech.
Didn't they bring back...
they brought back Kyron Drones, but he was a massive disappointment last year.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think he's under pressure.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't... I mean, I think the pressure angle is an interesting one to look at. It's like, all right, who is legitimately under, like, job pressure?
And to me, like, that's the people that are going to be willing. So, something to certainly monitor. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about what we got on the card this weekend. Tim's got a big, big weekend over at Wimbledon at the All England Club. We'll tell you about it when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company. 92.9.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
ESPN. All right, Tim. You got a couple of nice tickets for the men's and, or I should say, the gentlemen's and the ladies' final over at the All England Club at the championships at Wimbledon. You've got Iga Swiatek, or Swiatek, I think that's how you say it, at 9-1. I actually feel pretty good about that. I know you, yet again, though, you're someone that's very comfortable rooting against America. You bet on Canada in the Four Nations final.
Winner.
And so you'll be betting against America again on Saturday. I actually feel pretty good about that because...
Well, I will say, in my defense, I did have... So let's take a step back.
All right.
Do I know how to bet properly on tennis? No. But on my show 2 weeks ago, shouts to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line every Saturday and Sunday from 9 to noon Central Time, I had Drew Dinsick, a.k.a. the Whale Capper, on my program, and he gave us three bets.
Right.
He said Iga Swiatek, or however you pronounce her last name, which was at 8 or 9 to 1. He gave us Madison Keys, 16 to 1. So I did bet an American. She did not make it very far. And then he gave us Carlos Alcaraz because he was like, look, Carlos Alcaraz is just that good. And it was plus 120 pre-tournament. And look, if Grigor Dimitrov doesn't get hurt,
yeah,
then we're sitting here pretty. Now, I think you've got an interesting angle, and I would agree with it, because Sinner got a second chance of life, and he was filthy today. Granted, Novak Djokovic looked like he was 100 years old.
Yeah, it is funny how... What would you do if you're Novak, where he's clearly good enough to get to the semifinals, but he's not good enough to beat Alcaraz, and he's not good enough to beat Sinner, and it's like, what are you really... like? I think if you can add one more Grand Slam, it's like, all right, you get to 25, that's a big number, but it's like, if you're just going to keep playing, I guess there's the money aspect, but it's like, I don't know, man. The thing that concerns me is that Sinner, it feels like when you steal the, I should have been bounced from the tournament, and here we are. Also, this is going to be new Rafa going for his third straight Wimbledon. The only thing working in your favor is Sinner legitimately might have the Alcaraz heebie-jeebies. Like, he can beat anyone and everyone other than Alcaraz.
It's pretty wild. Like, I probably would be the worst tennis player on earth because I have no mental fortitude, hence why I'm a record holder at my college for worst free throw percentage.
There you go.
Alcaraz is like the opposite of me. Like, his comeback in the French was historical, right? He was down how many?
I mean, he had three championship points. It was three championship points. I mean, I think if you would have bet him live,
it was like 65 to 1 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was insane.
So I was watching today, not anywhere near what we saw in the French, but he was down, I think, two or three set points in the tiebreak in the fourth set. And he,
I think it was 6-3, right, George?
And he rattled off five straight points.
I think Fritz was up 6-3 in the tiebreak.
Because it felt like at that point, like, ooh, Taylor Fritz is going to make this interesting. We're going to go to a fifth set here. It's like, not so fast. But
I will say this, but I mean, it is also because Rafa is my guy. And I just, when Alcaraz was nearly trying to carry him at the Olympic Games to a medal, I was like, all right, dude, I'll just ride with you for the next 15 years. So I'm rooting for you. But I don't know. There's something about that. Is Sinner, I think if Sinner loses this, like, he officially has a problem. Like, you can kind of spin zone it right now.
How many times has he lost to him?
I think he's 1-9.
Holy smokes, really? I didn't realize it was that bad. Oh, my God.
Hang on. I want to pull it up. I know it's terrible in Grand Slams.
And he also had him, too, right? I mean, he had him in the French.
Oh,
and,
God.
And you do wonder, like, what's that mental mindset? But to your point, also, he's living on...
It's 8-4. Sorry.
So he's 4-8 against him?
He's 4-8 against him, but he's 1-3 in Grand Slams. But believe in not finals, he's... let's see.
Alcaraz is 5-0 in Grand Slam title matches.
Yeah.
He's like... It's pretty wild how... quietly he's just climbing the ranks. It's like, oh wow, that dude is the next one. I mean, you know that he is, but I mean, I just remember growing up and being like, Pete Sampras got 14 Grand Slams. Holy crap, this dude's incredible. And
Rafa has 14 French Opens.
Rafa's got 14 French Opens. Novak has the same amount of Wimbledons as him. He's won the career Grand Slam. Roger's got 8 Wimbledons. And I tell you what, man, it does look like Roger's living it up, just being Roger Federer.
God, is he so cool.
I wish I was Roger Federer.
Like, when he showed up in the suit the other
white
day.
White suit?
He's always just dressed to the nines. I always thought, like, he had to be a marketing, like, dream. You remember after every match, immediately.
First
he puts on the pullover, make sure logo's out, obviously. Yep. Then we put on our Rolex. Then we take a sip of Gatorade. If he could have done a quick shave for Gillette, he would have done that. Like, he was just the best. Yeah. I will say this. I'm rooting against you tomorrow because we have the red, white, and blue. But I am rooting for you on Sunday.
I will just say this. My bet on Iga is...
Are you going to hedge?
One of the smallest bets I've ever made.
Amanda has to be plus money.
Yeah, she's plus 185. My bet's too small to even hedge. It's very tiny. So if Amanda won Pride of New Jersey, it'd be fine.
Yeah, we got a Jersey girl in the final at Wimbledon. That's the content that we all need. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell The Story, Tell Your Story, we could obviously go to LeBron James's camp right now, but I got to go to a guy that we both kind of like, Josh Pate. I've always said if you subtract half a century of seasons and the two greatest coaches of all time, Bama is mid-U, because this was in response to Alabama's hard carried by Paul Bear Bryant and Nick Saban. They have 12 titles together with Stallings with one. Without those three, Alabama is Ole Miss. I always like to point this out. Now, it is untrue right now with Kalen DeBoer, but post Bear Bryant, every coach that's been at Alabama has won at least 10 games once. The job's an incredible job. What happened with Saban is what we saw when the best coach has the best job. Now, I don't know if it's the best job anymore because of this era, but in the under-the-table era, that was the best job.
Yeah, I always say, it's like, yeah, you know, if you remove half a century.
I will say this, though. I think it does apply to Florida. If you remove Spurrier and Urban Meyer, that's a very different job.
Sun Belt Billy's going to come calling for your name, man.
It is such a fun name to say, though.
It's a great name.
God, it's a great nickname. All right, my man. I wish you luck on your bet on Sunday.
Thank you.
Because we got the
Go
red.
Carlos.
We got with new Rafa. We got the red, white, and blue tomorrow, though. With
you know, Carlos beat an American today, right?
Yeah, Rafa trumps it though. And it's men's Americans. Like, come on, we got no hope. I don't even care. Like, we at least have a puncher's chance in the women's game.
Well, we won the French.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We've got a puncher. And Madison won the Australian.
That's right.
All right, my man, best of luck this weekend.
All right, see you, dude.
That is Tim Murray. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.